Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz. Hello, everyone.
Okay, Maysoon.
Kate?
I have an update that I need to let the world know.
Oh, Jesus. What's going on now? Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, I have my credit card with USAA, and I got a text yesterday that I had a fraud.
Oh, no! Wait.
I had a fraud alert.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Well, I called in. Oh, yeah. No, I went on my account online and looked, and I did have a notice, so it wasn't just some fucking scammer. Good point to always check.
Always check.
Never click any links from your text click on or doing any link. Freaky shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, please.
Never click any link from anywhere.
Nope.
Okay, but I call. Okay, so I get on my thing. Sure enough, there's a alert. I call in, and I get this woman, Maysoon, named Tessie.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, I don't. Do you know about USAA? It's like,
I don't.
To be on USAA, you have to either be a veteran or have a family member who is one.
Oh, I had no
or
idea.
Or who's active wow. military.
Okay.
And so whenever I call in, it's always like some old Southern, I mean, not old, but like a kind of gruff Southern gentleman.
Yes. Okay.
For some reason, that's always who I get for customer support. And this time it was a Southern lady named Tessie. And they're always, everyone I've ever talked to is super nice.
Oh, good.
But she was really nice, and she was cracking jokes, and we were getting Aww. Along so well. But anyhow, she, sure enough, revealed that I've had fraudulent charges on my card for like the last 4 months.
What?
Someone's been using my card at these gas stations around Phoenix, Arizona, charging like between $100 and $150 like every couple weeks.
Oh,
and I had
God,
no
Kate.
Idea. I didn't notice. I had like over $1,000 of fraudulent charges
on my account.
But don't
you have to pay your credit
card
bill?
Thank God for. Well, yes, but I was like, for some reason, because they were like these weird gas station charges, I didn't notice, you know? And I was thinking like, but, and it was also over 4 months. So it wasn't like, you know, just $1,000 was gone in a day.
It wasn't all in one go.
Right?
Yeah.
It was kind of like flying below the radar. Although I was making payments on my credit card, and every time I go make a payment, I'd be like, God damn, how am I spending so much money?
Oh, my God, Kate.
I know. And so thank God for Tessie. Tessie sorted it all out. I'm getting that money back.
Tessie's really – we need to send her a thank you card.
I did. I sent in multiple things. I even tweeted at USAA talking about how incredible Tessie is.
Oh, good for you. That's really good. She's going to – hopefully she gets a little, like, raise or something for that.
Me too. Yeah, and I sent in even a thing to the customer support whatever thing online and all that. Anyhow, God bless Tessie, and everyone needs to get on your shit and look around, look through all your statements for all your different cards and stuff, and you got to have an eagle, a vigilant eye.
Yeah, for sure.
For fraud charges. Because this shit, it said Phoenix, Arizona in the charge, so it was very clear that I did
not go to
Arizona.
It's so crazy. I comb through all of my credit card charges, and if I can't identify it, I go and like I search through all of my like online purchases to find it. And if I try to do that pretty thoroughly.
Well, what the heck? Because I feel like I pay pretty good attention. There's not some way that they could be backdating these charges, is there? No.
No, but I mean, it sounds
right.
Yeah, it just sounds like you would have needed to identify like the one charge a month from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes. And it just slipped right through the cracks on all my other frivolous charges that I make.
My goodness.
Okay.
That's crazy. So are you going to get all that money back?
Hell yeah. Tessie got it for me.
Damn. I want to join that bank. That sounds awesome.
USAA.
Okay. Any PSAs for the people?
I'm sure they're terrible. I'm sure they are like...
Wait, well, why do you have an account with them?
Blogging Congress to... Because they're really good, and they do my insurance. My insurance is very reasonably priced, and I get my points on my credit card, and, you know.
All those things.
I really like USAA. I have brand loyalty.
Have you had them since Ohio, or are they kind of a new addition?
Maybe since 2013, 2014.
So kind of, yeah. I mean, long time, but not forever.
I had a lot of, as you know, I had a very spotty driving record and had a lot of times with my license suspended. And so I've had to re-get car insurance many times in my life.
Oh, I just learned that Kate couldn't go to Canada because of her driving record.
Okay, go ahead. Times. Well, I could visit Canada, but I couldn't, move there. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so PSA. What I want to tell everyone is to take probiotics for their gut health. That's what I want to tell everyone.
Gut health is whole body
gut health. Gut health is whole body health, and I want everyone to sort of really think about that and take care of their gut, because if they take care of their gut, the rest of their body and brain likely will feel better. So take some probiotics.
It's all connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can do it many ways. You can do it through yogurt. You can take, actual capsules from your health food store. There's all sorts of ways to take your probiotic. I'm a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My dog Wally is on probiotics, and I get little capsules, and then I open them up and sprinkle them in his food. On his food,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, good.
Okay, Mason. Well, the San Jose Museum of Art is open back up again.
Oh, really? I feel like I read about a show that I was curious about or wanted to see.
On view now, you can see Barring Freedom, co-organized by the UC Santa Cruz Institute of the Arts and Sciences, which brings together contemporary artists confronting the historical and structural racism embedded in the criminal justice and mass incarceration systems. Also, Southeast Northwest, new works from the Permanent Collection, and Pei White's Noisy Blushes, commissioned by the SJMA, soars within the museum's 30-foot-high atrium.
Oh, wow. That's probably gorgeous.
So you can order tickets, and also they have – you'll want to make sure to look and know before you go. They are to require social distancing. Everyone over 6 years old has to have a mask on.
At all times.
Travel light because the coat check is closed and so forth.
And the cafe is probably closed.
Also, they have free admission. Also, they have free admission for essential and frontline workers.
Oh, nice.
And actually, the cafe is open Friday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for outdoor dining or takeout.
Okay, good. All right. That's great. What else are...
We're getting there, Mason.
I know we are. We're getting there. It feels good, but I don't know. What's your... Hopefully we don't have a fourth surge, but there's definitely some speculation around that. So everyone still stay careful, and, even if you've had your vaccination.
Yeah. If people need help getting access to the vaccine, if you're eligible, we're recording this right now on the 16th. Yesterday, on the 15th, the eligibility requirements loosened up, and there's a lot more people that are eligible now.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's open now for people with a lot more different health, pre-existing conditions and stuff.
Okay.
Heart conditions, except not hypertension. Hypertension was explicitly not included.
Oh, interesting.
But lots of other heart problems. I think people with hearing loss, if you have total hearing loss, I guess, all kinds of stuff. So I'll put a link to the My Turn website. There's also a Twitter bot that lets you know when new appointments have opened up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put a link to that. If people need help figuring out how to navigate this system, you can give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. But if you want to just get to the website and not talk to two people who are not experts, although Maysoon is kind of an expert.
Yeah. And if I...
You can check out...
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, if I don't have an answer, I will definitely get you one.
Yeah. And you can go to myturn.ca.gov to look for appointments. And I do know that there has been some real racial disparity in who is getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
That white people are getting vaccinated the most.
That is definitely true. And I've also...
Even though they did a poll finding out across race how many people want to be vaccinated, and it's equal across races.
Oh, okay.
There's no racial difference between who wants access to the vaccine.
And who doesn't. Got it.
And who wants to get it.
I know earlier this week.
Because I think there's been like misinformation going out around about that.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate as well, that there's been misinformation. I was going to say, I know earlier this week there was some controversy around a sort of pop-up vaccination site that opened in West Oakland. Did you hear about that? Supposedly.
Yes, I know that site. I saw the Instagram things about it, but it never said in any of the ads that they, I mean, there was like a little picture of like a family of color, like all together with masks on, but it didn't say explicitly in the like notices about it happening that like, you know, people of color and like, especially like West Oakland residents should be prioritized.
Yeah. I don't know if they can – I mean, I think they could specify West Oakland residents. I don't know if they can say
– Well, they couldn't just say, like, people of color to the front.
Yeah. I mean, I think – I really wish they had, but it was interesting to see the Instagram posts where, like, some people were like, I live a block away and didn't know that was happening. I would have loved to have brought my mother or grandmother. You know, where it's just sort of like, who was doing the communication on that site? But I had heard that, like, people were coming from, like, well outside of the Bay Area to stand in line because you didn't have to get an appointment. You could just stand in line and get your vaccination. It's just sort of like that's just bad behavior, you know, I think in general. I don't know. If you can't put that together, like if that's a pop-up site in a neighborhood, that if you can't put it together, that's for the community, that neighborhood. I don't know. You're not paying attention. Like, that kind of drives me nuts.
I think there was breakdowns all along the line on that.
Really?
You know, like if your main focus is the neighborhood, you got to be putting out like flyers out in the neighborhood or like have people doing like door to door.
I mean, I think that's true as well. But I guess I just think everyone is involved in making those decisions. You know what I mean?
Whoever is going to see that is going to come. You got to try to target who's seeing it.
Well, you can't control who's posting on Nextdoor, apparently. I hate Nextdoor.
Yeah. Or like, was it Nextdoor? Were they saying Nextdoor was where people were?
I think there were
a
bunch of those like neighborhood watch groups.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Vicky Gunter has a show going, One Nest Earthworks, with Elizabeth Addison and Vicky Gunter at Abrams Claghorn Gallery up there in Albany. That's on Solano Avenue at 1251 Solano Avenue. Come celebrate, but keep on a mask and be on point. Did I give enough information there?
You said that they were having an opening and you gave the location.
The reception already happened, so just go see the show.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Mercury 20 Gallery at 475 25th Street in Oakland has a print release and fundraiser from Julianne Wallace Sterling and paintings on paper from Elizabeth Shearer. Check them out at mercury20.com. Montalvo Art Center, remember them?
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about that in a hot second.
They have 5 new Scratch Space episodes. That's some kind of episodes they've been doing. It's a virtual conversation series. It's bi-weekly, and brand new episodes will delve into topics as diverse as grief, identity, togetherness, the future, and a whole lot more. They are free online events taking place during lunchtime, 12 to 1 p.m. on Thursdays. They're a great way. They're a great way to learn, explore, and be inspired. The next one is on March 18th. It's called The Grammar of Grief with Indira Allegra and Aaron Cristoval. And on April 8th, The 30 Names of Night with Zane Jukadar and Lori Wood.
Okay.
April 22nd, Digging Down into Our Planetary Futures with artists from the SETI Institute's residency program. May 6th, we've got motherfucking When We Gather with Maria Magdalena Campos Pons. And on May 20th, Foraging for a Future with Andrea Blum and Keisha Lucas.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, so you should go to Montalvo's website, which is at, go to montalvoarts.org to RSVP and see about all the myriad other stuff they've got going on. Montalvo, they're still popping. Okay, CCA's graduate program.
Speaking of...
Can I interrupt?
Speaking of Keija Lucas.
Hang on a sec. Can you hold one moment? Hang on.
Hello. Oh, thank you. Hi, Birdie.
I cut my hair.
Oh, it looks amazing. It was so long and now it's so short.
And now we have gel.
Oh, wow. And I just got enough. I need that because I need a little volume sometimes.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Hello. Okay. Are you still there, Maysoon?
That was pretty cute. Your little kid child neighbor?
Yeah, sometimes they bring me my mail.
Oh my goodness. How sweet is that? I was just going to say, speaking of Keija Lucas, friend of the show, friend of the Bay Area artist, amazing artist, photographer. Were you following what was going on with her where the New York Times started? I feel like we should report on that somehow. Maybe we should.
Okay, let's report on it. Here we go.
What was it called? Well, the New York Times had started a program or a project that was very similar to Keija's ongoing, for many years, project Objects to Remember You By, or for her Museum of Sentimental Taxonomy. Mm-hmm. And she had reached out to them multiple times. No one responded because it kind of felt like they had just sort of taken her idea, which you and I have had experience with news sources doing something similar. Yeah,
KQED's undermining us constantly.
KQED specifically. Yeah, and I have had that with my artist collective 100 Days Action with KQED also.
How dare they?
So this is a thing that large organizations are known to do. And Keija, you know, asked her Instagram followers to sort of write letters and protest to the New York Times. And just looking at her post, she was interviewed by, I don't know this person. She was interviewed for 48 Hills about it. Which is great, but I don't think the New York Times has responded yet. Have you heard anything,
Kate? No, but there were a bunch of articles I'll link to in the underworld, like 48 Hills and I think a couple other places reported on Keija's story. And so you can get a lot more information about it in the underworld. I think Keija has way more of a right to claim that they were copying more than at least Congratulations Pine Tree did against KQED. Although we are still in the midst of an absolute full on drop down, blowout, knockdown battle permanently
war with
against KQED.
I was never bringing that up as like a. To take any of that away from Keija, but just as a point to say that this has been known to happen. This is not Keija making something up. This isn't us. This is a thing that happens, and everyone should know that, and it should be pushed against because it's not okay to steal artist ideas.
Absolutely,
ever.
Absolutely. Okay. Anyhow, Maysoon CCA's graduate program in curatorial practice is presenting Contact Traces from May 9th to June 6th. It's an exhibition featuring work by Daria Kay, Linka Clayton, Latoya Ruby Frazier, Alana Harris-Babau, and Jenny Kindler. It's going to be on view at the CCA Wattis Institute for Contemporary Arts, and it is curated by Leandra Burnett, Catherine Jemima Hilton, Shaylin Haynes, Yu-Yu Ma, and Emily Markert, in partial fulfillment of the degree of Master of Arts in Curatorial Practice. You know, I wish we could have that entire group on the show. Maysoon, when the pandemic is over, we have to really fulfill our dreams for the podcast.
Yeah, we need to start
interviewing people. We need to interview people every week.
Also.
Sometimes four or five people.
I'm excited. Don't you miss interviewing people? I miss it.
Yeah. Actually. I do too. I want to get an entire cohort of students coming out of these grad programs.
Like, you want to do, you want to interview an entire group of people?
I want to interview all these people coming out of the CCA's CURP program. Uh-oh, Wally's having a mental freakout. Okay, Maysoon, so everybody check that show out, and that is all my announcements. Although I also want to announce that Bemis has their applications open.
You don't need any competition. Don't you want to keep it all for yourself?
There's
always going
to be loads of competition. I found Holly Clanker or whatever, the woman who runs the residency program there. I found an interview with her on Instagram. Yeah. And now I really will fucking know exactly what to do. This will be my 11th time applying.
Let's interview her.
This will be my 11th time applying to Bemis. Oh my God, that would kill you, I think. And I think 11th time is the lucky time.
I think so too, Kate. I'm really excited for you. I saw that you were already gathering some references. You're really on top of this, on top of it this time. All right. So I was just going to say one more announcement. We found out today, very exciting news, that the Berklee Arts Center is hiring for a co-director. So if you've always wanted to be in the driver's seat, but not fully in the driver's seat, or share the driver's seat with someone else, like a co-passenger situation, then this could be for you.
Yes.
No, Berklee Arts Center. Berklee Arts Center is awesome. You would be working directly with Daniel Nevers, who is an artist and also currently director of the Berklee Arts Center.
And a lovely person.
And very smart and considerate and thoughtful and trying to do great things with the center. So I think it's exciting. Just look up Berklee Arts Center job. I found the posting on, I don't know, like Idealist or one of those sort of job search engines.
And it's a pretty decent, they're not listing it as a full-time job.
Yeah, I think they're saying like 4 days or something.
And but I don't think it includes health insurance, but they're saying they would also have some kind of supplement to help pay for your health insurance.
Really? Did you read that?
Oh, there's Katie. Full-time employees are eligible to earn up to $4,200 per year in pre-tax revenue to reimburse qualified health care premium expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't love that, but if that's something you think you can work around, then you should definitely apply for that, because I think it could be a really exciting opportunity, like career-wise, as far as the work that you would be doing there. I'm also seeing that there is a custodian position available at the Lawrence Berklee National Laboratory.
Ooh.
Which could be cool. I mean, it could be kind of interesting and weird. Maybe part-time if you're an artist doing some research, you get yourself in that lab and find some interesting things, maybe. There's also a lecturer position in art practice at University of California, Berkeley for $56,000 a year.
Whoa.
Just saying, you got to start somewhere.
Should I apply for that?
I think you should apply for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep, all I know is that if I could teach at Berkeley, my mom would love me more.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm not sure if that's possible.
Well,
there's a lot of positions at the Berklee National Laboratory available. It's kind of crazy.
Okay, what other art stuff? Maysoon, remember in the last episode we talked about NFTs?
Oh my God, non-fungible. The non-fungibles.
Non-fungible tokens?
Yes.
Well, NFTs are over. NFTs are fucking over.
What?
Okay.
Oh my God. That was 2 weeks ago, Kate. How can that possibly
happen?
Because
they're terrible for the environment, because just one transaction of Ethereum is the same amount of carbon emissions as driving a car 1,000 miles.
What now? Sorry. Can you say that one more time?
Cryptocurrencies are terrible for the environment because every transaction is calling a million computers to do all these little puzzles, and it takes a bajillion electricity. Okay.
Right.
And so every time you do a transaction with the cryptocurrency Ethereum, which is what is used, it's the currency used to buy NFTs, and B, most NFTs are using the same blockchain algorithm shit that Ethereum uses. So like trading an NFT is basically the same as trading Ethereum coins, like cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
And so point is, it's extremely bad for the environment. And then an artist came out with this whole infographic about how, like, this whole NFT craze is basically a pyramid scheme.
Oh, God. That's not totally surprising.
Because it costs money to even convert your art into an NFT. And there's no guarantee that you're going to get any money back. But all the hype is making it look like no matter what you make, you're going to get thousands and thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And that's just not true, people. It's just not true. And very famous comic book artist Michael DeForge, he's coming out. He's saying, look, if fucking Elon Musk is saying that your shit is cool, it's just not cool. Elon Musk is not cool. So NFTs are over. It took 2 weeks to go from, whoa, what's all this talk about NFTs, to now being firmly in the camp of NFTs suck.
That is so funny. Jimbo's family call this week was talking about NFTs as well. It was hysterical.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yep, it's all over.
Wait, let me read you. Like, can I just read you this, Michael DeForge? Setting aside the environmental damage and setting aside the long-term harm of propping up speculation bubbles and pyramid scheme gambles as opportunities, in quotes, for young artists, if you are an artist minting NFTs, you are hitching your wagon to the most annoying losers in the world. And then there's a screenshot of Elon Musk saying that he's selling an NFT, which is a song about NFTs.
Well, you know, last time you and I had met, we were going to talk about some fucking, like, we had this plan to bring to our listeners some
mysteries and history
of the art world. Mysteries and hauntings of the art world. And
okay, do you have one?
I don't actually have one, but I did want to bring up that, but that there is some mystery around the woman who funded Coit Tower.
Tell me more.
And I need to look more into it because I don't think there's actually, I don't think it's haunted with any ghosts, but she just sounds like she was quite the character and really worth knowing more about. Her name was Lily Hitchcock Coit.
Yep.
Okay, she was born in 1843 in West Point, New York. Her father was a successful physician. He left her a substantial inheritance. She moved out here. She was like, I love this city. Let's get, she was like, okay, Lily was San Francisco eccentric, dubbed the mascot firefighter with the Knickerbocker Engine Company number 5. So there's all these great photos of her in like full like firefighter costume or uniform. She just sounds like she was like an eccentric, wealthy woman who basically left her money
to
get
smoking cigars.
Yep. To get Coit Tower built, which supposedly has a history of like the tower itself looks like the top of it looks like the nozzle of a fire hose. But that's been debunked.
Oh.
Anyhow, she's kind of like a figure of mystery in my mind that I would like to learn a little bit more about because she's just one of these badass ladies who is like part of San Francisco history, but I just have never heard of her and I'm excited to hear more, to learn more about her. She almost got killed, but supposedly by a cousin of hers when we're in her hotel room at the Palace Hotel. So she was like living in the Palace Hotel, which is like the fanciest place in the city. You know where that is? It's right by like it's like New Montgomery and Market Street. So it's kind of near SF MoMA, but it's like one of the, it's one of the fanciest hotels in San Francisco. It has like a Tiffany stained glass like ceiling in the main area. It's like a main atrium lounge area that has a Tiffany stained glass ceiling. It's totally crazy. Anyhow, she was living in the hotel and like her cousin came to visit her and she had another man there. And so there was like this whole scandal around like these men in her room and one guy, they were like, came stumbling in drunk and tried to kill her. But the other guy took the bullet for her. It's just like, it just sounds like she was just a wild lady who had all this really crazy stuff going on around her. I kind of love her.
Wow.
There's like, anyhow.
Well, wait, what was this fight? What the hell happened?
Dude, I don't know. It's all kind of crazy. This guy in 1903, Alexander Garrett, a distant cousin of Mrs. Coit, entered her apartment at the Palace Hotel with a loaded gun. All right. So he was there to deliver. He was there with some business dealings. Maybe he thought he was going to like get pushed out of like the inheritance. Who knows what? But he was a little bit drunk.
Or were they doing it?
No. This is her cousin.
Well, who knows? It's her distant cousin.
Yeah, I think it seemed like it was more around like the money aspect of it.
I thought it was a love triangle.
Spat. Yeah, I don't think
so. No, a love triangle.
A love triangle. Okay. Maybe. You never know. But anyhow, she just sounds like she's a real hoot, this character, this woman. And I just love it. I'm super into it. And I'm going to find out more information about her.
And both the guy, the shooter there, Maysoon, the shooter and the guy who was shot were both Civil War veterans who fought for the Confederacy.
Yes. Weird, right?
What the fuck?
I know. So, and I think there's also a history of Coit Tower of someone being pushed to their death from the top of the tower, which is totally crazy also. So there's all this weird intrigue and crime around this tower or, you know, which I'm curious to.
Should we go there in the night and see if we see a ghost?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we should.
Speaking of ghosts, I want to do another shout out. Everybody should watch the show on Netflix by Elizabeth Ito. It's called City of Ghosts. It is an animated show.
Oh, you've been talking about this. Yeah.
These kids that are paranormal detectives who are going around Los Angeles meeting ghosts and learning about the history of different neighborhoods in Los Angeles.
Oh.
I love the show so much. It made me cry. Every episode makes me cry. I love it so much. Aww. It is beautiful and amazing. It's very gentle and very informative, but not in like a boring way.
Wow. Do you feel like you could reach out to the creator and see if they have any ghost stories for us for San Francisco? It's only LA.
You gotta watch the show and then you'll learn a million.
No, but we need San Francisco stories.
Well, they're all based on real interviews with people from LA.
Okay. Oh, you know where the ghost stories are? The Headlands.
Yeah, big time.
Big time. Okay. Did you find
any? I'll tell you who not to ask. You know who not to ask for ghost stories?
Uh-oh, who?
Chris Carlson with Found SF and Shaping SF.
Yeah.
He is not here for ghost stories, I'll tell you that.
Is he like super anti-ghost stories? He's like, listen, I don't have time for that nonsense. Is that kind of his attitude about it?
I think so, yeah.
Chris.
He's like, look, I'm about actual history, not bullshit history.
I don't believe that. I think he'd actually be about that. Did you ask him
specifically? No, I've asked him before and he was like, go fuck yourself.
You know, I bet you the Prailing Jurors would have something interesting to say about ghost stories in San Francisco. Those guys know everything.
Look, people, if you got mysteries and histories and paranormal investigations, you should give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast or you can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
And I will say we are looking for a specifically kind of arts focused, if possible. You know how much we stray from that topic, but we're trying to bring it back,
arts and
people.
Culture.
Yeah.
Get creative.
So like Coit Tower fits in you know.
It's absolutely architecture.
Architecture and also the murals. It's a cultural touch point for the city. It's cool. We got it. That one works.
Big time. Yeah. We fucking nailed it.
I'll get more. I'm going to keep maybe every week I'll give a little blip more about this. About Coit Tower and Lily Hitchcock Coit.
Great.
I wonder if she's related to Alfred Hitchcock. Do you think?
Doubt it.
I just can't imagine this happening.
Wasn't he British or something?
Yeah, but she could be British. What was his vibe?
Yeah, that's
true. I know
he
was a perv. He was a perv.
Maysoon.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
Oh, my God. It's this week. Oh.
Let's remind everyone to not do anything and don't do anything and don't get wasted and cause a problem.
Okay, really? But it's St. Patrick's Day.
Well, don't get wasted and cause a problem.
Don't cause a problem.
Saying.
Maybe have a small drink at home. Listen to some music that you like. If you have any, you know, Irish traditional music, you could listen to that. Maybe wear some green.
Are they going to light up the stuff in town? Are they going to put green lights?
No, they don't do
that
here. In Chicago, they dye the river green for St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if that's happening this
year. Yeah, and I think they're doing it by surprise.
Ooh, I hope my mom.
Didn't they do it last year and they just didn't tell anyone?
No, everyone expects. They've been doing it for generations since I was a kid.
Maysoon. I mean, they told everyone they weren't going to do it because of the pandemic. They didn't want to get people all excited.
And then they did it as
and
a little.
And then they did do it. Yeah,
oh, that's right. Cute. That's very cute. I didn't know that. Maybe I'm sure they'll do it again this year. Everyone fucking needs it desperately, but maybe they'll do the same thing where they won't really announce it.
Okay, but I gotta tell you, Maysoon, I'm Irish as fuck. And I gotta say, I'm in 100% support of Irish people in Ireland, but American Irish people
suck.
Not got a great batting record. Okay, who do we got? Bill O'Reilly, Mike Pence, Michael Flynn.
Yeah, Michael Flynn, yeah.
Okay, QAnon enthusiast. All these fucking Paul Ryan.
The white politicians.
All these dick bags. Joe Biden.
Is he Irish?
Yep.
We know Kennedy was Irish, obviously.
Big time. They love to talk about it in the Irish press that Joe Biden, there anytime anything happens where Joe Biden does anything related to Ireland, they write about it in the Irish press.
That's so stupid.
And then they make a big point to talk about his family ties
to the motherland.
To the island. Okay, so I got to say, number one, God bless the Irish. Number two, Irish Americans, sort your shit out. You're doing a bad job.
Yeah, you basically suck.
Number three, fuck the British. Brits out. That's the real spirit of the any Irish holiday.
I love that. Brits out.
Okay, great. And we will be making sure that the 800-year occupation by the British of Ireland is remembered from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations, Pine Tree.